chapter 10 and you are not here for the night vigil, try and get the tape. Try to get the tape and be part of the Bible study session. We have more time in the vigils, so we take time to look at a lot of topical issues of the scripture of salvation. So get the tapes. If for any reason you can't come to vigils on Friday. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians, somebody help me to read from verse 1. A good reader, please. Good reader, not the way you read your girlfriend's letter or your wife's letter. And don't count. Read it so that we can understand what the punctuations are conveying. Go on, from verse 1.
Moreover, brethren, I would not ye should be ignorant how that all our forefathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea too, and we are all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as we are some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 10,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, and upon whom the ends of the world are come.
The last verse now.
Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There are no temptation.
Thank you. The last verse is verse 12. Thank you. Thank you. I read this scripture on Friday night, and I'm reading it again because it's still relevant now to our continuation of the study we started last Sunday. The Bible stories that we see, Apostle Paul is saying, they are there, written there for our admonishment, and it is that they are there for example for us. What he's saying there is, they looked at our fathers of the faith, the Jews, how almost 2 million of them left Egypt. They were part of the revival. And let me just ask, please, if you were not here for the Friday vigil, can I see your hand up? Sure. Everybody, nobody here came for vigil. And yet the whole hall was full. Full and over full. Amen. Our members don't come for vigil. Okay. We have Friday members. Maybe they are the ones that come on Friday. Hallelujah. Don't sit at home when your brethren are here praying. No. Don't wait till there's emergency before you begin to do your own vigil. If you are at work, it's understandable. But if it's because you are tired, the devil has finished you. Because you are in Lagos especially, don't be lazy in prayer. Let me not take too much time on that. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Why I ask is because I stressed so much on what this chapter is telling, what Apostle Paul is telling us. try and get the tape and get my emphasis there. The emphasis there, in a nutshell, is that they left Egypt. Almost 2 million people. They saw the cloud. They saw the pillar of fire. They saw the miracle. They passed through the Red Sea. That's what Apostle Paul is saying. They passed through the Red Sea. That miracle that has never been repeated till today. They passed through the Red Sea. And they were in the wilderness, they were thirsty. From nowhere, a rock appeared. Water came out of it. They drank water. Fresh, unpolluted water. Miracle. They were hungry without going to farm, without going to bank, no ATM to get money in the wilderness. Food was falling from heaven, manna. They will eat and be full without laboring for it. They saw the reality of God. And Apostle Paul said, despite that, he said, God was not pleased with all of them, with most of them. And that is why, out of almost 2 million that left Egypt, how many entered the promised land? Two. You know, when we read that story, we can laugh. Hey, see the Israelite people. Only two. Useless people. But Apostle Paul, he said in verse 12 there, he said, therefore, let him go take his stand. He said, take heed. Be careful, that's all. And I'm telling you, so many more are falling over. What is happening? We all left Egypt, the world. We had the gospel. We left Egypt. For on our way now. The journey is on now. We are on our wilderness journey. Open up. They were to leave Egypt for the Canaan land. Canaan land was the promised land. Why, as believers, what is the promise we have? It's the rapture from earth to glory. When we went to heaven, the journey begins from the day you came out to Christ. The journey begins. And he listed some of this is what they packed by the wayside. It was disobedience, it was memory, it was fornication. One day, 23,000 died as a result of fornication. You see? And it's warning. So the rapture will not fall after the same example that we are seeing. Let him who think he stands say, take heed, lest he fall. And during the vigil, we looked at those three characters in verse 11 of the book of Jude. Cain, Balaam, and Korah. Not just the totality of their character, but an aspect of those characters. He called it the way of Cain. I call it the error of Balaam. And I call it the gainsay of Korah. The gainsay of Korah. And we looked, I think we will conclude it next Friday. We finished Cain. We went halfway with Balaam. We will complete Balaam and then, God willing, complete, go to Korah and understand. They are there examples for us. We, that the end of the world has come, we are those that God is, we are partakers of God rounding up his activities on earth as far as salvation is concerned. And so we should take heed. And the only way to take heed is to learn from the mistakes of others. That's why the stories are there. Let's learn from their own mistakes. So we pick the character of Samson. Last week, from Judges chapter 16. And in summary, Samson was raised up for the sole purpose was on dealing with the Philistines, and he was empowered. But there was a secret behind his power that the Philistines didn't know anything about. And that secret, the enemy was looking for it. What type of man is this? But even in a prostitute's house, the gatherer was surrounded that place. They locked the city gate so that in the morning they would grab him and kill him, because he had finished over 1,000 of them with the jawbone of a ass. And the last revenge. And he stood up when he noticed they were waiting for him. What did he do? Plus the whole gate. He went and removed the city gate to show how powerful that guy was. He removed plus the bone, plus whatever it is, and then he didn't descend from the hill. He climbed the hill with it. Power. The enemy, of course, if you see that kind of thing, you're not going to run. Then they looked, how are we going to get this man? What is the secret of his power? They went and recruited a woman by the name, shout it now,
Delilah.
And offered him money. If you can just get us the secret of the power behind this man. I went in details last week. But my emphasis here was that he did not value that power he had. Where was the power? Where was the secret? The secret of that power. Where was that power? The power was not in his muscles. Because like I said last week, according to history, I read somewhere where they said that Samson was a man of small stature. He was a smallish man. And why? God will use foolish things to confound the wise. Anytime God wants to manifest his real power, hallelujah, he will do the wrong thing in a way that everybody will look and say, God, this is God. Now, just look at your history. Among his disciples that he even picked, they were not educated people. Even among his disciples, they were not educated people. No. Even now, the mighty man that God is using, they are uneducated people. You do it in such a way to let the whole world know that you cannot know God by philosophy. Hallelujah. Not education. You will do it in such a way. How will you describe this? That a woman who was looking for fruit of the womb for years, according to her, she went to America, travel over the world, Germany. She said she has spent over 10 million naira for that. It means they had the money. Of course, when a woman speaks like that, you know they must have really spent a lot of money. And one day she heard that there is a fruit of the womb program here. And she came even the last day. And she was told to buy pure water. 5 naira pure water. 5 naira. 5 naira pure water. She came here. Nobody touched it. She brought it by herself. Because if I brought it from the altar, it may be that I did a lot of dry fasting. There was a lot of sacrifice was done. But she went herself and brought it there. And came in the congregation, and she only said amen to the pronouncement. And she drank it. What? She spent 10 million naira and she couldn't get it. 5 naira! Pure water. She got pregnant. She traveled to America. Hallelujah. She delivered the baby and she was waiting for the next program. It was an annual program. And when they told her the date, she flew from America to come here to dedicate the baby at that program and went back to the U.S. Now, what I'm saying so is, for God to let her know that this is God. This is God, not a man. What did he use? Come on. Go back to 1 Corinthians. Chapter 1. Go back to 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. Hallelujah. Verse 26. Are we there? Are we there? Apostle Paul is talking to us. For also, calling brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and best things of the world and things which are despised God has chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to things and to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yes, now flesh things he will use, and people who are not sensitive enough cannot catch when God is moving. When God wants to manifest himself to you, praise the Lord. He comes so simple, so easy, so it is so simple, but it is so too easy to miss him. Too easy to miss him. And that is demonstrated in the story of Elisha. And when you go to 1 Kings chapter 19, and I can just summarize it for you, you can read it on your own. Hallelujah. And that man of God, Elijah was frustrated. And he went ahead him because Jezebel was killing all the prophets. He went ahead him. Hallelujah. And God was going to talk to him. The first time he should go and wait for him somewhere. For he is coming to meet Elijah. Elijah was sitting down there to wait for the coming of the Lord to speak to him. God was coming to meet him. God was going to meet Elijah. The Bible says, when it was time, what was the first thing that Elijah noticed? A great wind. A mighty wind. You can read that from 1 Kings chapter 19 from verse 9. The first thing that he saw was what? A mighty wind. Can we read it? Some people know they read Bible until they come to church. I think it's 1 Kings chapter 19. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, fine. It's chapter 19. Verse 9. And he came Peter unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of God came to him, and he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And now even I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. What was the first thing that happened? And a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. The Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. Hallelujah. God is coming to you, to Elijah. The first thing he did, he said, what did he see? He saw, listen, church, I want to drop a very important point to us here. A mighty wind, you will bow down. After the wind pass, you say, God, don't come down. Then you will come down from the mountain. The moment God also, the wind is shake like this. How the toes are put it, I saw God roar. But Elijah knew better. The Bible said God was not in the wind. Serious earthquake, the ground shook. I don't know what you have experienced or why God said, my daughter, I will go with you. Go to the mountain, I will visit you. Separate yourself, my son, I want to visit you. Then suddenly, the breeze started to go open and went through. You stand up. God visited me, brother. I never seen this kind of thing before. I don't know, God is so real. It is not the earthquake, God was not a hit. The fire, God was not a hit. The word and the storm, God was not a hit. The fire is a session to our thing. Has driven us too far. Our eyes wise. What is wise? Where is wise? The righteousness is the word. And what I'm telling you is it has happened in church history and it is still happening now. As soon as Samson began his ministry was to destroy the enemy. If you listen, the set lion after him. The one idea is a type also of the church. And I tell you there are two churches. Hallelujah. There are two churches. That is the true vine and the false vine. Look, John 15, the Lord says, I am the vine. He said, ye are the branches. Church, listen, this is very important. The mystery of salvation. Christ is the main trunk, the vine. He says, ye are the branches. The tree that grows up, the original, the tree that grows up, there are original branches that it will produce, right? Are we together? Are you with me? If your neighbor is sleeping, say, which vine are you? Church, listen, this is important. That tree, every tree, when a branch, the tree also produces her own branches. And the interesting part of it is that the original tree branch, when it branches up, because the fruits are always coming from the branches. The fruit determines what type of tree it is. This tree here, if it's a longer tree, what will it produce? The branch, the original branch from there will produce what? Mangoes. But there's another mystery of science called grafting. We know that. In that way, we know that. That you can, in the citrus family, that you can get one citrus tree and cut the branch of another citrus and come and scrape it and put it there. That's the grafting. The mystery there is that branch that you cut from another tree and put here, the mystery there is that the branch will stick to that long vine and grow. Now watch it. It is growing because it is finding nourishment right from that long vine. The vine has a purpose, but it uses to feed the branches to produce his own fruit. But you have brought another branch to come here. Enjoying all the benefit from this tree, but it is not an original branch from this vine. And the interesting thing there is that every tree will bring forth the fruit according to its origin, according to the kind. Wherever you brought it from, if you bring a grape, you granted it to a tangerine tree. They are all citrus. Very religious. They are very religious. And you bring that cup and you granted it there. It will grow. But when it is time to produce fruit, what will it bring forth? Grape. You need to know this, to know the mystery of the composition of the Church of Jesus Christ. Now, everybody is in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, something will happen. Mighty miracles, signs, and wonders are happening. Hallelujah. Mighty miracles, signs, and wonders are happening by the name of Jesus. They have come and grafted themselves with the spirit of religion into that body. And they are seeking the power and prosperity, and they are receiving fear, and they are doing everything, and they are the salvation of Christianity. And the Lord Jesus Christ saw it. And in Matthew chapter 13, he gave the parable from verse 24, the parable of the wheat and the tares. The owner of the farm planted wheat. And the Bible says, one man slept. The owner came and saw tares. It means if they were still awake, the owner would not have come. If Samson was awake, he wore what is on his hair. We have another woman to keep that thing. So the woman was so. First, he was asleep. And the Bible tells us that he was alive and pray. Watch. Watch and pray. Hallelujah. See. Listen, church. We watch for witches and wizards. It is good. We watch for the enemy, our competitors, our enemies, one or the other. We are preparing now for the end of the year with our program, putting on the armor of God to fortify ourselves against all witches and wizards. It is good. But we neglect the most important thing for us to watch. It's to watch the spirit of error coming in. The spirit of error coming in. Generally, we have to watch and pray. Watch for the error. And the error, when you say it's a watch and not sleep, is error is very subtle. Error. When Abraham was defining the secret of death, he said, what is death? Separation from God. I hope we know that. Human beings die. We say a human being is dead because he is separated from us. So we say he is dead. But the actual death there, and the dead who eat of that fruit, Adam, that day also die. That day is separation from God. When God separates from you, you are moving cups. They're moving cups. They're finished. Hallelujah. And when Abraham said, the secret is adding or subtracting from the word of God will bring death. And the serpent came. Did he say you shall die if you eat of that fruit? If he said yes. And Satan said, no. He added only one word there. Ye shall not surely die. God said, ye shall surely die. Satan said, ye shall not surely die. Have you heard the gospel of no, it doesn't matter? Have you heard the gospel of it doesn't matter? It is subtle that God is speaking. Subtly. And then it is only that miracle signs and wonders. And then some people are thinking that God is alive and dead. Watch and pray. The type of Christians, what God expects of those who will make it in the rapture in this age, is a type of Gideon's army in Judges chapter 7. The Midianites, God was telling Gideon to go for that battle. His armies. How many were there? 32,000 soldiers. God turned and looked at them. Gideon, these people are too many. If I tell Israel to go with 32,000 and fight that battle, they will say it was because of their number. Therefore, separate them. The first thing you do is tell them, anyone who has just married, newly married, any newly married brother. Married one, or you are afraid. This to permit to let them go back. How many people went back? How many? The first group of people that left. Praise the Lord. How many went back? 22,000. If you read that scripture, 22,000 went back. So out of those 22,000 people that say, hey, Midianite, Gideon, we deal with you. God knows everybody. Some of them are fear. And remember, the story of Gideon is the story of Christianity. I hope you know that. Because the book of Revelation somewhere tells us those who will not enter the kingdom. He mentioned the fearful. The fearful will not enter the kingdom. Who are those people that are fearful? There are so many people that have heard the truth. But because of the consequences of standing for the truth, they compromise it. They compromise. How many people have had this end time message? But because of the trouble that we have with the denominational pastor, they compromise. Even some of them are sitting right here now. Why are you not flying here? You know what we're preaching here is the truth. But you can't have your assembly where your mind is completely error. Because number one, you are afraid that the pastor might curse you. Yes, now. You are afraid that you will get hungry because Nadan will give you food to chop. The accommodation you are staying, Nadan give you. The money where you do your business, Nadan borrow you. If I leave this, they will finish me. God, but what are the talk for bread? Not true. The God of the talk for bread? Not true. Now the talk they see for our church with this is not true. Not true. But if you are, you are afraid. 22,000. They went back. Praise the Lord. Remember how many? 10,000. God is still told Gideon, these 10,000, they are still too many. Now, go to the water test. God told them, go to the water test. Take them to the river. They are all testing now. Take them to the riverside. And there will be two groups of people there. He said, when you get to the water side, they are very thirsty. Hallelujah. They are very thirsty. When you get to the water side, watch all of them. Tell all of them to drink. The one that we lap the water like a dog. Yeah, just dash there. Put his head for inside the water. Like that. He said, keep him one side. Then the one that we fetch the water with the hand, we go on his knees and fetch the water and drink. Fetch the water and drink. He said, keep that one side. When he supported the two groups, 9,700 dashed inside the water with their head back and drank and drank. Only 300 out of 32,000. Only 300 qualified for that fight in the media. And he said that many held full. I trust in God. What's up to you, everybody? God wants us. He said, what? Why did they support that? A good soldier in the battlefield. You're supposed to be watchful in case the enemy is coming. So he said, taking that water, one day, it's a watchful in the direction of the enemy. The other hand, they're raising the hand to drink the water. The other is not a good soldier. They're talking, they're walking. That is how a good soldier is supposed to walk in the battlefield. He says, Christ is coming soon, yes. He said, does it mean that we should walk again? Because Christ is coming soon? He said, no. Hallelujah. He said, plan ahead. I said, Christ is coming in the last time. But I said, he's coming the last time. Watch it. Well, hallelujah. You also have a hand here to walk. To get food to eat. For business breakthrough. You're still looking for woman to marry, looking for husband to marry. You're still doing about your education and everything else. Don't put all your person in what you are doing to survive. What does the scripture say to say the power of the Lord? What does the scripture say to say the manifestation of the devil? Because when a man slept, then he came. If you are watching, he would have come. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. But what about is so important? I emphasize all that. What the Bible says concerning the word of God last week. Go back and see the emphasis of what the word of God is. The power, the emphasis God gives to his word. Until he says, hey God, honors his word, even above all his name. He said, it's sharper than two-edged sword. Jeremiah said, hallelujah, describing the word of God. He described it as a hammer. It will break the rocks to pieces. The word is the word. There is something in the name of the Lord. There is something in the name of the Lord. And so we're looking at how did he walk? How did he get? Always has he been after the Lord? Number one, he raised the ruler. And that ruler is a church. And you look at church history, the revival that started from the experience in the first century. According to church history, you know that when the gospel got into the hands of the Roman Empire and the states decided to come and join themselves and recognize Christianity and made it a state religion, giving it government backing, all they ended up doing was idolatry, idol worship was mixed with Christianity, and it produced the first church today, known as the Roman Catholic Church. That is the ruler. The enemy is to go after the world. How did he do it? He did it in Matthew 13. Verse 33, the parable of the heaven. Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable speaking unto them, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Leaven is yeast. Which a woman took and hid in two measures of bread till the whole was leavened. And I've explained this here several times. The three works of grace. The three works of grace. Justification, sanctification, and the baptism of the Holy Ghost. A woman in the church substituted those teachings, and instead of justification by faith in the works for salvation. What about the cross of Calvary? You know what the Catholic Church teaches for justification. You know what they teach for sanctification. The doctrine of purgatory. And you know what they have used now to replace the Holy Ghost. That is the Holy Eucharist. That bread, they refer to it as the literal body of Jesus Christ. Not a type. You eat that bread, you are eating the real body. We are not better than you, those of you who are Catholics. That parable was given there before the church even began. God knowing what will happen ahead. The same man, the prodigal son, the same woman has prayed for the church. The church, remember that Samson, the lion, was known as a prostitute. I hope you know that. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 17 described the Catholic Church as a slut and a lover of heart. It's the same thing. Remember, every story in the Old Testament is speaking of something in the New Testament. It's a type of something that is made clear now to us to enable us to understand what salvation is and what salvation is not. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And by that, the cover of course, they even during the dark ages, they withdrew the Bible from the Almighty. Hallelujah. They withdrew. The Bible calls that the death of the Nicolaitans. Praise the Lord. They withdrew the Bible. And if the Bible is withdrawn from the congregation, then it is only what the priest tells you you will follow. Until God used Luther to break that and establish Bible colleges so that people can study the word. And they shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So he has a ruler. The second thing he has is, if you give me about 10 minutes more. The second thing he has is in Mark chapter 4. To kill the world, to take the world away. Because He knows once he can take the word of God away from you, the power is gone. Power is gone. It is written. It is written. It is written. That is the language of believers. Thus said the Lord. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is written. Praise the Lord. The word. The word. Okay, let's go to that parable of Mark chapter 4. Now, verse 3. Hearken. It's a parable. No, saying a parable. Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the roadside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground where it had no much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. Another fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he added it there, and he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, not verse 10. He spoke it to them, but came to verse 10. And when he was alone, they that were about him were the 12, asked of him a parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery. Hallelujah. To know the mystery. Ha! I know I have explained this several times. But you see, when I'm teaching, always, those old members, always bear with us. There's somebody hearing me for the first time. Every day, you have invited somebody to come. Let them also know what you know. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ spoke a parable to the congregation, to his crusade. And he's speaking to them all the whole 7 parables that he spoke in Matthew chapter 13. They were all in parables. And he never explained it to them. But when he comes to the inner circle, the bride, hallelujah, the bride, then he began to explain to them. That means there's something that disciples knew concerning the teaching of Jesus Christ that people outside didn't know. He led them outside to use their own way of interpreting it. Hallelujah. To have seen and heard the Seventh-day Adventists interpreting Malachi chapter 4 verse 5. I had it earlier this week. And I was laughing. And I stood up and I began to worship God. Father, I thank you. I thank you. These are doctors of divinity teaching. These are mighty men renowned. They have a television station. They are teaching all the things they believe. And they took the fulfillment to Revelation chapter 14. And they said those 3 angels in Revelation chapter 14. He said, they are the ones that will use the Elijah anointing to preach the everlasting gospel. I need to hear that so that I can appreciate God, because I will have been there and believe that man, what they are teaching. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Leviticus chapter 23. And then, that is the reason why every year they celebrate the feast of wave offering. And every member of the church will bring an offering that you will wave it for everybody to see. That is a wave offering. But you and I, the blood of Jesus Christ, you know that that wave offering is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. For 40 days, the Lord was waiting for the whole world to see the shift of the first. He said, this is the order of resurrection. First, Christ, the first fruits. Praise the Lord. And you're supposed to bring it to the high priest and let him wave it for the congregation to see. and Christ resurrected the first from among the dead, because others were going to be resurrected later on. That's something the Lord did. And it was not for the whole world to see, but for the blind person, all that they see there is opportunity to make money. You were there working with them before, until your eyes were open. I saw somebody taking a teaching on the book of Esther. I saw another person taking the teaching on the book of Ruth. And all it does for me is for me to say, thank you, Father, for making me to be part of the inner caucus. That's something the name of the Lord. That's something the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. And then Christ came, and the disciples were asking him, why do you ask me to be in parable? What did they say? It is given that you understand the mystery of the kingdom. The mystery of salvation. He's not everybody in the house. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The mystery of the anointing. He's not everybody in the house. Two pastors were fighting themselves in Nigeria some time ago. One was calling one that is very, very anointed as a Beelzebub. But it's also cutting powers. It's deceiving. And they were calling themselves on television. When they had the opportunity to go to television, to have to tell them. Hallelujah. I said, no. That man that is fighting the other one is real, because he's ignorant of what the mystery of salvation is. The Bible in that same Matthew 13, the wheat and the tares. What did they say? He said, I have the iron pan. What did he do? He was not. He was sent as a witness. First, they regarded the tares on one side. And they regarded again the wheat on the other side. At the iron pan, he said, let both go together. That is why the church of Jesus says, worldwide, everybody, but this is the end time now. And God is going to raise ministers. They are his angels to gather the various groups. And when he hears, every man that God has sent, he will give you anointing for the job he has given you. The anointing is to attract the group you have made together. Who are you going to put it over? Does he preach? Can he express himself? But when he's going to prayer, you can't fight it. You can't fight it. And it's only a blind person that will say that prayer is authentic. Stop that. It's a journey behind the others to get out of the people. telling them what they say. They are not, because we were in the backyard. So our speaker never reached my road. Praise the Lord. But they will still hear us. Praise the Lord. I said they will still hear us. Hallelujah. Church, you have to understand these last days. If you read from verse 12:13, he said it's the spirit of delusion. He called it delusion. He said God will delude people who don't like the truth. They shall pass you in righteousness so that they will believe in you, so that in the case of believing in you, they will be in you. It's a mystery, church. We have preached here several times. What I'm teaching, I'm only trying to make you know why he spoke parable outside and came to his disciples and began to tell them the meaning of that parable. Because it's not everybody that should know the mystery of salvation. See what he said there. See what he said there. In this, where am I, sir? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse 11. Unto all it is given to know the rest of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are outside the fold of Christ. All these things are done in parables. Why? Verse 12. That seeing, they will see and not perceive. And hearing, they will hear and not understand. Lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Because some people, their sins should never be forgiven them. Their sins are never to be forgiven them. Does that make God unrighteous? No. Thank you. Predestination. Praise the Lord. Okay, let me read on. Then I said unto them, verse 13, know ye not this parable and how they will hear all parables? Then he began to explain the meaning of the parable. He said, the sower soweth what? Someone sow the word. Someone sow the word. Hallelujah. I have seen where preacher use this place to preach prosperity. It's the word that was sown. Where was it sown? It's in the heart. Verse 15. And he's given an interpretation. And those are there by the wayside. Because you know he's also filled by the wayside. Where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And how does he do it? As you close from here now, there are some things you hear when you come to a church like this. Listen, for instance, even the simple ones like the water baptism. When you sit down here, you receive it. Yeah. What they're saying is the truth. And when you step out, you will meet your pastor. You will meet one evangelist you have so much regard for. And immediately you go. So I went to one church. See, this scripture was speaking to me. Which scripture? Which one? Which one? What do you know? What? Baptism is in the name of Jesus. And the man will come and say, when I was in Bible school and I have a doctorate degree in theology, we did a research on the Greek lexicon. Hallelujah. I even wrote my thesis on Matthew 28, verse 19. If you like, you can use Father, Son, Holy Ghost. If you like, you use Jesus. Oh, not the same thing. Satan has taken it away from you. Because by the time he proved how much of an authority he is, he In fact, you won't even go. Then he will ask you, where did you hear that? It is bad assembly. How? Those brown people, then he will bring God's genera, written by Robert Lowndon, and tell you what Robert Lowndon wrote concerning William Branham. That the man was used by God, and if he wanted to stay in his calling of healing, miracles, signs, and wonders, he went into teaching the word. And God got angry with him and killed him. Don't be mad at people like that. They are teaching error. Immediately. That's just one of the ones. There are several other ones. There are several other ones. Which verse am I in? Verse 16. The other group. And these are the likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. But some are saying, I'm not the number one to be here. I surrender. And the minute, they cry. They have received the word. Because it will take a long word to put somebody out from nothing from your feet to the altar. They received it. And the word is not seed of our soul. Now, but say something here, verse 17. And have no root in themselves. And so endure, but for a time they will endure. Afterward, when affliction, that is my emphasis, that verse is the reason I went to this parable. When affliction or persecution arises for the Lord's sake, not for any other reason. For what reason are you receiving the persecution or affliction? For what reason? For the Lord's sake, immediately they are offended. They are stumbled. Why? They did not have root. Root there. Hallelujah. Root there. Blessed be the name of God. See, Apostle Paul described it in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's read Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. I believe that scripture is Hebrews chapter 4. Hallelujah. Now verse 2. For all, he said, hallelujah. For he said, let us, verse 1, let us therefore fear, lest a promise be let us of entering into his rest, any of you shall seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the law of the priest did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that had it. What they hear is not mixed with faith. Because what enters you is a revelation. Have you got a revelation of what Jesus Christ is? He said, upon this rock, upon this rock, hallelujah. And as I say so, it's reminding me, those of you journalists,